superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That's a man right there, boy.
Oh. It's incomplete, but a flag!
Heard nationwide.
McVay going ballistic.
Televised.
Sam Darnold as the quarterback rows left sided. Picked off by the Colts.
Online at richeisenshow.com.
History in the making.
Russell looks. Seth has time. Gonna throw to the end zone. Stinking! He makes the catch! Touchdown! Seahawks!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Boom, baby!
Today's guests from NBC Sports, Peter King, plus Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, my word. Oh, my gosh. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host here on a post-Week 3 NFL Monday. And for those who are watching on Peacock and on our quadcast on NBC, SN, and more, NBC is home of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football, and the Leprechaun just showed up. Just jumped out there.
The Leprechaun wishes he looked this good.
Oh, my gosh. Chris Brockman showing up to work dressed like Cam Newton, or at least his version of it. Because his New England Patriots just took care of business against the Las Vegas Raiders, back on the winning streak. And you've got the bow tie working. You've got a hat that's definitely about 1/2000th the cost of what Cam wears his hat.
Fact.
But you're happy.
I'm happy. I'm feeling good. 2-1, baby.
I like the little Patriots flower.
Are 2-1.
Well, Cam went bow tie and flower, so I tried to match as close as I could.
The Patriots are 2-1. They are 2-1 behind the Buffalo Bills, who were staring a 2-1 record right in the face until a flag came out late against the Los Angeles Rams, who came back from a furiously from a deep hole. But Josh Allen is continuing to burnish his MVP credentials in 2020, the way that he is winging the ball around in Western New York. The Bills are 3-0. You've also got the Packers at 3-0 after last night's performance from our Friday guest, our last guest of last week, coming up with a huge performance on Sunday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers are 3-0 as Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdown passes. Drew Brees last night also almost had 300 yards passing, most of them to his running back, leading to everybody still talking about his arm strength. I'm going to still say this about Drew Brees, coming straight out at you. The ball he winged in to Emmanuel Sanders to tie the game at 27 apiece was tremendous. He gave them a lead. He gave them a lead late in this game. He was tremendous. Aaron Rodgers was just better. Towards the end of this game, he was excellent. Difficult to stop. But the way that Brees winged one into Emmanuel Sanders, I didn't see a guy that had no arm strength. I saw a guy who's pinpoint accurate. I see a guy who's without his main wide receiver in Michael Thomas. I know he got a lot of yards after catch. I'm still not ready to call for the football funeral of Drew Brees. I just won't do it. I need to see what he looks like with Michael Thomas. This team has given up a ton of points and a ton of yardage to Derek Carr and now Aaron Rodgers. They've been making a ton of penalties. They have been making a ton of mistakes. I'm not ready to bury the New Orleans Saints yet. And yes, I am wearing new glasses today because I left my glasses at home and Mike Del Tufo gave me his glasses. That the most alarming thing about it is he says he frequently uses it and needs it to see buttons in front of him.
No, I now actually can see what
I use these glasses and how it makes everything in front of me crystal clear, and you don't ever use these.
They're for patch bays and trucks when I'm doing...
Okay, at any rate.
Patch bays and trucks.
That's a good name.
The New Orleans Saints are at the Detroit Lions next. And the Lions with a very nice win yesterday. Kenny Galladay's return certainly led that offense looking unstoppable in the fourth quarter as they picked off Kyler Murray three times. It was a troubling performance in the MVP candidacy for Kyler Murray to lose at home to the Detroit Lions yesterday. And certainly troubling for the Cardinals in the fact that Seattle is cooking. That the narrative that Russell Wilson will receive his first, not only receive his first vote for MVP in his career, but he will maybe receive all of the votes. Yes, that is fact. And Russell Wilson yesterday doing exactly what needed to be done yesterday to hold off a furious Cowboys rally for the second straight week. And what Russell did yesterday with Chris Carson out late, and you've got some injury news on that front to relate coming up later on. What Russell did yesterday when one of his wide receivers forfeited a touchdown, essentially, and DK Metcalf celebrating before hitting the end zone, already one of the clubhouse leaders in 2020. It'll be difficult to knock out. Top five bonehead plays of all of 2020. And that still clubhouse leader is the Atlanta Falcons watching the fidget spinner of an onside kick go 10 yards. Although last night, if you saw, the Saints attempted the same thing and the Packers stared at the football also. And luckily for them, as Chris Collinsworth pointed out, the ball stopped spinning on its side, flipped up on its nose and started spinning that way, and thus did not have the same action that Zuerlein did for the Cowboys, where it did not go up the field. It just went straight out of bounds. But they didn't jump on the ball.
So weird.
At any rate, but Metcalf forfeited a touchdown because he celebrated and let up too soon, and a defender for the Cowboys knocked the ball out and out of bounds, which gave the ball back to the Dallas Cowboys, further promoting my philosophy.
Oh, you're going to wait.
Again.
Are you serious now?
I'm going to put a pin in that for the moment because there's more to talk about. But, yes, we're going to hit this later on.
Oh.
Settle down just a little bit.
We're going to hit this later on.
Okay. I'll
we'll hit it later on.
I'll hold on.
But forfeited a touchdown. And just when you thought those points were going to come back to rear its ugly head, and it was in my head too, as the Seattle Seahawks, with a short down line to gain, a short amount of yards for the line to gain, and needing to take more time off the clock for them to potentially kick the game-winning field goal with no time left, decide to throw the ball. And with a play call where Russ is rolling out, or at least it's what appeared to be the play call, rolling out to the short side of the field, giving him so few options that he had to avoid taking a sack, which he never really has to do when he's standing in the middle of the pocket. When you roll him out to the short side of the field and he threw down the boundary and they didn't run for the first down, they didn't keep the clock rolling, they threw the ball out of bounds and stopped the clock, bringing a third down play. I thought to myself, they're doing it again. I even tweeted out that was an absurd play call. But I guess it doesn't matter when you let Russ cook and you let Russ cook on the next play. And he buys enough time for DK Metcalf to get just a small amount of separation between him and his defender. And you lead him perfectly in the back of the end zone for your fifth touchdown pass of the day. Oh, my word. And with that fifth touchdown pass of the day, Russell Wilson not only breaks the record that Patrick Mahomes set in 2018 with 14 touchdown passes in a team's first three games. Mahomes had 13 such passes in his MVP season of 2018. But he also joins Mahomes, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, and Drew Brees to throw four touchdowns in three straight games. That's how Russ is cooking. And he had three of his five touchdown passes to Tyler Lockett alone in the first half. And TJ Jefferson, I will tell you this. Your Dallas Cowboys, A, better start playing defense, and B, better start getting leads. And the way to do it is just, I don't know, put it up there again. I don't know how many touches Zeke had yesterday, but...
Not enough.
I mean, Dak has been amazing, okay? He's had to throw it, as he's 57 times yesterday. And you know... Second straight game of 400 yards, which is great. If you've got him in fantasy, that's wonderful. But
I got him in real life.
They were, again, one. Exactly. They were 20 touch, 14 carries for Zeke, six out of the backfield. So that's 20 touches. You've got, right now, pound for pound, as they would say, in the NFL, with Saquon out for the year and Christian McCaffrey on the shelf. And I know Kamara is running like crazy, and he's also catching out of the backfield. You still, to me, you've got the best running back in the NFL. You've got the best one.
I agree, even without the caveats.
Tenderize. That's the thing that I liked out of the Saints last night, is they tenderized that front seven for Green Bay. They hit him with Latavius, then they hit him with Kamara, then they hit him with Latavius. The problem is that they try to hit him with Taysom Hill, and that fumble changed everything last night.
Yeah, big time.
You know? And... that's what I liked about the Saints. You get the running game going. There's no Michael Thomas. Your quarterback does not, let's just put it this way. So, and this is the only way to put it. He does not, from what it appears to me, look too far down the field to target his receivers right now. They still damn near won this football game.
Very polite.
No, I know it's very polite because I just don't want this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But that has nothing to do with what's happening right now.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I've been down this road before with Brady, and I won't do it with Brees until I get at least a few more games under my belt to see it, and I want to see Michael Thomas back.
But the guy on the other sideline was doing it without his wide.
Well, the guy
top
on the,
wide receiver.
The guy on the other sideline to me right now is. You could make the case, and I know you want to later on, and I'll give you the floor, for him to be the MVP of this season. Aaron Rodgers is just – he's also 6 years younger than the guy we're talking about, five and a half years younger. I mean, Aaron Rodgers at the top of his game. He said on Friday that he was at peace with where he was in his career and also in terms of where he is with this offense, and he's playing that way. There's a ton of namaste out there.
There's a lot of peace.
Okay.
Throwing that deep ball to Lazard.
He is namasteing all over the place.
Yeah. You look great.
So – you know, when you're comparing one to the other, it doesn't look very good. And, you know, when you look down and you see the stats, but you also know that Kamara took a bubble screen and ran it 70 yards, and that goes on Breeze's credit for his yards. It doesn't tell the full story. I just don't want to go there just yet because of what I'm saying here with Breeze in relation to Brady. But... it would behoove, as I pointed out, that what the Saints were doing last night is they tenderized with their running game. Why can't the Cowboys do that?
I have a theory. I'll share it for
I know. Look, I love Bobby Wagner, but 61 rushing yards as a team, you know, even when you're down 30 to 15, it's not like you're down as much as they were to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know, and Dallas next up has got Cleveland. And I'll tell you this, I just kind of went a little bit higher register here. I mean, the way that they're running the football, I would proffer to say that's the way Cleveland should win this football game is going down to Dallas and giving them a whole bunch of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Ooh,
nice. So I'm telling you, man, this is the way I would play it if I'm Dallas. Just run the hell out of it with Zeke. Give him 30 touches. Let him do it. Let him eat. Let him go. And you got three receivers, or four now.
Five. Noah Brown.
I know, right?
Wilson.
Well, I know. Wilson was having a tremendous day. So I wouldn't put it all on Dak's arm like that. It makes no sense. And you are one Atlanta boneheaded decision away from you know, being 0-3, and this is the issue too.
You called it the secondary.
You could their secondary is awful. Not at all what it was in the last couple of years. That's why they got to get home. They got to get home with the quarterback, and it's tough to get home with the quarterback when it's Russell Wilson. It's much easier when it's Matt Ryan. And let me just put it this way, too. I would be concerned for Dallas also. Is it wasn't just a fluke for Dallas to come back on Atlanta. Atlanta is giving it all away right now. I mean, Atlanta is like Oprah giving out cars with second-half comebacks. I tweeted it out yesterday. It did pretty well on Twitter. It got some engagement, as the kids would say, that the Falcons, breaking news, have petitioned the NFL to shorten their football games to 50 minutes.
I like that.
Pretty funny.
Matt Ryan had 8 straight incomplete passes. You want to talk about where's the running game? And at some point, they already got Trump's taxes. Shouldn't we find out about Todd Gurley's knee? Can we get the New York Times on that? He had 80 yards and a touchdown, but 14 rushes. Like, give it to Todd Gurley.
I think
what are we doing?
The point where that's all that knee can take. He only really comes in when they're inside the 20s.
I don't know. I mean, and Hill was running the ball well, too. Just can we run it a little bit when things are not going your way? Certainly when Julio Jones is out. Mm-hmm. Now they're 0-3 because they blew yet another one. And the manner in which they blew it to a Bears team that came in 2-0, and who knew? Who knew? We were wondering all season, off season long, we were wondering, how long is the leash going to be on Mitchell Trubisky? That's what we were wondering. We were wondering that the minute the Bears season ended, and then that question gained much more attention and firepower when they acquired Nick Foles. And we were wondering all non-playing season, especially when COVID prevented any on-field work from taking place and the competition from taking place, how long the leash will be for Mitchell Trubisky. And the answer was 10 and a half quarters, even though 8 of those quarters wound up with the Bears being 2-0. Yeah. So they had yet to lose a game, and then they struggled for 2.5 quarters, and that's it. Out goes Trubisky. And in comes Nick Foles. And just to show you that the bad juju's all over the lot in Atlanta, Foles' first drive, he leads them down the field and then throws a 50-50 ball in the end zone, the first 50 of which was ruled a touchdown, the second 50 of which was an overturn on replay to give it to an interception in a dual-possessed football. So that's the way Foles' first drive started, actually broke in Atlanta's favor. And yet the Bears still came back from more than 2 touchdowns down to win that football game. Well, I mean, with 2-point conversions and whatnot. It was 2 touchdowns. And Allen Robinson, who wants a trade, is now showing up like the Allen Robinson who the Bears should give a long-term contract to. Unfortunately, it looks like Tariq Cohen may have blown out his knee. But Foles with 3 touchdowns and the 1 interception would have been a 4th touchdown, or was initially ruled a 4th touchdown. I mean, see ya, Mitchell Trubisky. I don't even think this is a conversation. Over. Over. And the only way he sees the field again is if Foles gets hurt. That's it. What are you going to do? It's still Mitchell's team? You're going to walk into that locker room and say that? And kudos to my guy, who we know is already confident enough to be as bald as a newborn baby and still rock a visor. And I've told him that only accentuates his follically challengedness. Well, yeah. He still does it. But kudos to Matt Nagy just saying, screw it.
Yeah.
We're going. We're going now. We're going in week 3. I don't care that we're already 2-0. Screw it. I've seen enough. That's it, Mitchell. You're on the bench. Knowing what that will bring post-game commentary, because they're down by that much, you're thinking, what? You're going to come back again? It worked.
It worked.
There's no way they go back to Mitchell Trubisky right now. And they can't. They can't because the football gods know that in the first game that Fox is broadcasting on a triple cast of a Thursday Night Football on to kick off week five is Nick Foles taking on Tom Brady. Can't have it. Can't have Mitchell there. We can't. Okay. Speaking on behalf of my network, Fox, Amazon Prime, anybody, Westwood One, anybody who's got the game. No. We don't want Mitchell. Foles. I want Foles, and I want Tom Brady, and I want it in Chicago, and I want my glasses back because I look ridiculous in yours, Mike.
They're working, though.
The Falcons have the Bears at home, down a bunch, switching quarterbacks, and still can't seal the deal. Holy crap. Poll question to Chris. We'll take a break. Peter King's going to join us first. Michael Irvin in hour number three. We had him on last week just to talk about how the Cowboys came back on the Falcons. He was scheduled to appear because he's slinging his own podcast, which is going to be dynamite because the amount of crap that I got for years in the set of NFL Game Day Morning for being self-promotional about my podcast.
I remember.
You got a podcast, Rich?
You got one?
Rich has a podcast.
Irv was the least offensive on it. It was more Mooch and
Kurt.
Okay. But the fact that he's coming on to promote his own podcast is really chef's kiss material. That'll be great in hour three.
Quickly ask the poll question today, guys. Which winless team still isn't out of it? Because, you know, there's a seventh playoff spot this year. Texans, Vikings, Falcons, Eagles.
Okay. Last question of the first hour. Sure, yes or no? This is a simple yes or no question for you. Did you get a free bowl of soup with that hat?
If you didn't.
No.
Okay.
You got ripped off.
It's tough to look, but I'm going to fight through it.
He's killing it.
I'm going to fight
Thank you, Mike. Shopping yesterday?
By the way, you're taking a compliment about the way you look from a guy who gave me his glasses. 44204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, Peter King on the subject of coaches on the hot seat and what I just mentioned about Trubisky, who has chimed in on the subject. We'll play you that sound and take your calls still to come.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL.
Okay, we're back on Peacock. Unveil the poll question here for our Peacock audience before we get to everything else. I've got to fix my computer screen while you do it, Chris. Go for it.
All right, guys, looking at which winless team still isn't out of it. As we know, there's a seventh playoff spot, I got to imagine these teams, one of them could still go on a run. Looking at Eagles, Falcons, Texans, Vikings at Rich Eisen Show. Vote right now.
Okay. We really do not know how the seventh seed can actually open the door for a team that's 0-3. We don't know. I mean, if 7-9 makes it because of a seventh seed, and you're 0-3, that means you've got to go 7-6 the rest of the way. You just got to play 500 football, right?
Yeah. You can do it.
Which some of these teams at 0-3 can totally do.
Yeah.
You just got to hope the rest of the league doesn't excel.
This is basically the preseason anyway. So.
Well, I'm saying you could go 8-5 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And you're 8-8, and that might make you the seventh seed.
You're in.
But if the seventh seed is 9-7, that's kind of toast, right? I mean, this is just math. It's just simple math. I don't usually do math. Hold on a minute here. We're back in a second on the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Peter King about to join us. What do you have over there, Christopher, for the poll question? Why don't you unveil it for the NBCSN audience?
Yeah, we're looking at which winless team still isn't out of it. As we know, there's a seventh playoff seed this year. So Texans, Vikings, Falcons, Eagles. Which winless team still isn't out of it?
Okay, here we go. And we just kind of did some math for the Peacock audience. And we'll just kind of review it right here, is that if you're currently 0-3 and you go 7-6 the rest of the way, and the seventh seed allows a 7-9 team in the playoffs, you're not dead. 8-5 means you're 500 by the end of the season, and 9-4 is something that an 0-3 team would have trouble doing, one would say, but it's not out of the realm of the possibility. But spotting everybody else three games is very difficult.
Yeah, that's tough.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And, you know, load up Mitchell Trubisky on the subject of losing his gig, and all eyes will be on Matt Nagy to see what his decision is from moving forward here, as the Chicago Bears' next game is against Philly Riv and Indianapolis at home, and then they've got a short week with Tampa coming in. What do you got over there? Do you have that soundbite? Mitchell Trubisky? Don? Okay, yeah. If we can get Mitchell Trubisky loaded up. Here we go. This is Mitchell.
I mean, it's always one game at a time. What I did the first week and the second week doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter was we weren't doing too well in the first half, and coach felt like making a change and taking me out would help us do better. And the only thing I can control is me playing better. And when I had those reps in the first half, and I didn't do that, so I gave him the opportunity to pull me. He did, and it is what it is. So you just got to move forward, accept it, and continue to be a great teammate. But it's just a tough deal sometimes.
So it is a tough deal. It is a tough deal because he doesn't have a deal after this year. So there's that. Peter King is going to join us on a different day, so we'll take your phone calls a little bit more in a second. But can I expound on this just a little bit more?
Do it.
I don't want to rub any more salt.
Okay.
Which is, as you know, a different version of saying with all due respect.
Right. Yes. Right.
But. Could you imagine, just if we're moving on from Mitchell, right? If you are making that case, and it's a very, as I mentioned before, this is why I wanted to say constantly that we're running it back, right? Mm-hmm. With Mitchell. I said that to you at the end of last season, that the Bears were going to run it back with Mitchell Trubisky. And I said it to you the minute that the Super Bowl was over, they were going to run it back with Mitchell Trubisky. And when they got Nick Foles, I said they're going to run it back with Mitchell Trubisky. They have to. Why? Because the general manager was the one who moved up from one spot from 3-2 to make sure he got his guy. And he didn't go and get Mahomes and Watson. He went and he got Trubisky. So it's difficult to sell that case. We got another guy now. And the coach was hired to turn Trubisky into somebody else. In the same way that McVay was hired to turn Goff into someone else. See what I'm... You see where I'm following? In the same way that the Jets are going to have to hire somebody to turn Sam Darnold into somebody else fast. So it's difficult for Nagy to say, okay, I changed the guy into someone else. As a matter of fact, it put us in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, it won me coach of the year. Mm-hmm. But we've got to go with somebody else. It's a tough thing to sell internally and keep your job, quite frankly. So that's why I said they're going to run it back with Mitchell Trubisky this entire time. But now that you uncorked the Foles genie from the quarterback controversy bottle, now that you've done that and it's out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And you got your three wishes, to use the whole Aladdin phrase. Now it opens up this question. And I hope Foles does well, but I will ask it anyway. Don't you think it was worth knocking on Cam Newton's door? imagine if the 2015 Cam that has shown up in New England in 2020 and has kept the Patriots ship afloat and steaming still towards a possibility for an AFC championship and who knows what, if that guy had shown up in Chicago, Illinois, where we all know the Cubs win for the first time in a century and the Bulls, they got Billy Donovan to coach them, right? Yeah. That guy, right? The Last Dance, all of that stuff. We all know it's a Bears town. If Cam had shown up there, we could be talking about the Bears to win this conference with a lot more confidence than we are for the current 3-0 Bears. Don't you think? And if New England winds up taking on Nick Foles and the Bears, let's just totally wave that wand and make it happen.
In the Super Bowl?
Why not?
Okay.
What the hell?
I'm here for
it. What do we care?
Let's go.
We're spitballing.
Throw it against the wall.
They have only themselves to blame. Same thing with the Chargers. Same thing with Jacksonville. Even though, obviously, Jacksonville we don't think is going to wind up with very much this year at all. We thought they were tanking. Name a team that needed a quarterback and let Cam Newton sit at home all the way into June. Let him sit there until Bill Belichick could sit there and go, you know what? I don't know if Stidham's the guy for 2020. And the fact that we stuck with that plan for this long, normally, for any other team, would leave them what we call SOL. Mm-hmm. Up the Emmy Award-winning comedy creek, minus a paddle. Nope. Bill Belichick was able to call up Cam Newton and say, what do you say? And Cam was still free to say, I'm in. And now we're already talking about should the Patriots sign Cam long term.
Hello.
We're already talking that. What if that guy was the one who came off the bench yesterday in Atlanta and not Nick Foles? Now, that is disrespectful to Nick Foles, who we all know is one of the great human beings in this game.
Indeed.
Who has fought through far worse disrespect than me saying, what if Cam was there? But that said, what if Cam was there?
Brock wouldn't even...
Forget it.
More outfits.
Forget it. This is 2020 hindsight. I'm using Del Tufo's glasses because I'm going from here to NFL Network and home and back. I got a lot going on. So I'm taking my glasses and I'm leaving them in different places I shouldn't.
Saul Rosenberg.
So I'm using your glasses, Mike Del Tufo, and these might be 2020 looking in the hindsight. Because now we know Cam doesn't have the shoulder, doesn't have the foot, and Cam has got the chip on his shoulder and is showing up like 2015 in New England in 2020. And man, on that front, New England at 2-1, next up at Kansas City. Oof. For a late Sunday window, you can book Romo and Nance in whatever, hopefully, quarantined COVID hotel in Kansas City you want. They will be there adding much more intensity to tonight's game with Kansas City at Baltimore.
Ooh, huge game.
Okay. And if Kansas City loses that, we would have thought back in June, okay, Stidham in Kansas City, that's a wrap. Not Cam, the MVP candidate. And not only that, you take a look at New England hosting Denver, then a bye week. Then they have San Francisco at home. Then that big first one, 1st of September at Buffalo. They go up there and serve notice in a manner where they say, no Brady anymore, but guess what? The Pegula family still doesn't own you. The New England Patriots do. Then the bye week, their second bye week. Oh, I'm sorry. That's at the Jets. My bad. Primetime game Monday night. Big bag of leaves. Sell that one. So on and so forth.
Yeah. It's fun.
Again, just bringing it up. The sliding doors of the 2020 season that was brought about because everybody in the NFL who needed a quarterback said, I don't know, Cam, what's his COVID? What are we going to fly him out and look at him? Or I don't know, Cam's iconic and entertaining. I don't know. Well, you know, what is he going to do in our locker room? Or all of that nonsense.
Shoulder, ankle.
Let New England bide their time evaluating their quarterback room over and over and over again while all our armchair quarterbacks, including us sitting at home saying, what are they waiting for? We said it the minute that Cam was released from Carolina. He should go to New England.
Yeah.
Look what he is doing. And Rex Burkhead is alive, and now suddenly this is what happens, man. Because you don't know who's going to have the football, and McDaniels is going to dial it up. Now here's Sony Michel showing up out of the blue. Now Sony Michel's running all over the place, and Rex Burkhead is a fantasy monster, and they're running it all over the lot. So, again, week one, let's run it. Let's get Cam a couple touchdowns because that's the way the game plays out. Week two, all right, we need to wing it around a lot. So let's get Edelman the most passing yards he's ever received in his career while Cam throws for almost 400 yards. Week three, let's run down a Raiders' throat. Let's run it right down their throat. And yes, part of this is born out of the Jets sucking so badly while New England is able to turn the page from Tom Brady like nothing happened. What turbulent waters. What are we talking about? We're still trapping lobsters, right? I don't care that there's a big, huge-ass wave coming. What is that? Doesn't matter to us. Unbelievable. Bill Belichick, honestly, what a great. All brought up because of what I'm thinking about the Bears. Okay. Let's take a break. Let's empty some phone banks as well. We've got a lot to talk about. We haven't even talked about the NBA Finals being set. We haven't even discussed what happened over the weekend in college football. We'll touch upon all that stuff as Michael Irvin lurks in hour number three.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archives. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
We're right in the middle of the NBC Sports on Peacock streaming day. Dan Patrick precedes us, brother from another... is after our show is over every day at 3 Eastern time. And then, of course, we're sitting in the middle of the Florio Burrito. Thanks to our friend Mike Tirico for giving us a shout out during the game yesterday. We'll play you the soundbite that he was referring to as Alan Lazard was running all over the Superdome free for Aaron Rodgers to find him. And there's some interesting facts that I have about the 3-0 teams. We have Overreaction Monday coming up. We've got Michael Irvin as well. And our poll question is, which 0-3 or winless team? I got to use the hockey term, right?
Winless.
Because when you get a tie,
right,
the Eagles are 0-2-1, which leaves them only a half game out of first place anyway. Is that... You're 0-2-1. You're stinking it up. And Jalen Hurts, people are crying for it in Philadelphia. And right, you're still only half game behind. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Okay, we're back here on Peacock. I guess, is that a hot take to sit here the day after Foles takes over for Trubisky and actually performs well enough to give the Bears another comeback win that I'm sitting here saying, well, it could have been Cam? Is that a hot take?
No. Okay. All of Bears Twitter is saying it could have been Cam.
Could have been. Okay, very good. Didn't know that. Yeah. Didn't follow Bears Twitter. Didn't know you followed Bears Twitter.
I didn't. I just... did.
Okay, very good. And by the way, in case everyone's wondering, Chris Brockman is not wearing his leprechaun outfit because the Celtics got bounced out of the playoffs in double
last night. What are you talking about, leprechaun outfit? I don't follow that.
He does kind of look like the Notre Dame guy.
What do you mean? I'm wearing purple.
If we find
and blue.
A picture
this is
of the
what
Notre
you're
Dame
emulating.
Mascot.
Is this what you're emulating here?
I did my best.
He does look like the Notre Dame mascot.
Well, first things first, I think you could see that the brim is down. Your brim is currently up.
We need a full body
there
shot.
There you
Brockman.
Go.
That doesn't look. It covers my eyes.
No. Well, I don't know. You go, first of all, that you need a hat that fits. One, number two, you do look like Inspector Gadget when you put the hat down. So, but that's at least emulating better what we've got going on. But the fact that you are showing your fandom.
Yeah, well, I'll just give you a full.
Yeah,
body.
We need a full body shot of this.
Now here we go. All right, hold on a second. Chris Brockman is not mic'd up. Okay, we're going to get a full body shot. We're going to move over. Okay, going to widen out. Oh, my gosh, you've got loafers and capri pants going on, too?
Oh, yeah, he's old.
Okay, hold on a minute. Here we go. Here's Chris Brockman. The shot's going to be widened out. We'll show it to our quadcast audience. Can you widen out? Because I'm done tap dancing verbally enough. We got a – all right, my gosh. Here we go. Hi, everybody. I'm not Chris Brockman. There he is. Oh, boy.
He does look like the mascot from Notre Dame, Rich.
You do? All you need is a shillelagh?
That's
all you need. You just need a shillelagh. Very good. Oh, my God.
Go Irish.
Let's take a phone call right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What more needs to be said about this being an international sport than the fact that our first caller in wants to talk AFC East football all the way from Israel? By the way, I don't know if you're supposed to be calling and I'm supposed to be here on the Day of Atonement, but Rafi, let's just both go to hell together. What's going on, Rafi?
First of all, Gmar Chatima Tovah to you.
Right, thank you so much. Right.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about more of the Jets rather than the Bills because Josh Allen's he's giving me heart attacks. True cardiac kid. But I'm really tired of beating the Jets and then being told that, hey, you just beat the Jets. It doesn't really mean anything. And I just took a look at some stats, some things of contracts over the past few years, and I realized something really interesting about the Jets. Because you keep talking about wanting to evaluate Sam Darnold, but you can't really evaluate him because his second year, there were so many injuries. Now, third year, there's depth problems and all that. And going back to the Bills, the 2018 season, Buffalo had $70 million in dead cap. That's 37% of the entire salary cap. Now, the Jets, by comparison, had 13%, and pretty much every team's around 13, 15%, right? So when people now talk about Buffalo as saying, oh, this team is complete, they've got depth everywhere, I think it's because they actually purged the salary cap properly before they decided, okay, we're going to give Josh all of his weapons, and we're going to give him an offensive line, we're going to give him everything. I think that's the thing that the Jets need to do before you guys draft Trevor Lawrence and ruin him just like you're ruining Sam Darnold.
Well,
that's my opinion.
I appreciate it, Rafi, and thank you for the call. I'm going to say this as straightforward as I possibly can. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just can't sugarcoat it. But The New York Jets have broken Sam Darnold. It's official. They have broken him. He is a broken quarterback. He's broken. He doesn't look anything like the kid that came out of USC. He doesn't look anything like a kid who was a top five drafted quarterback. He doesn't look anything like a franchise future quarterback. He's a franchise face. He does all the right things. He says all the right things, like supports his coach, saying that the game plan that he gets is something that can be executed to the best of their abilities, that they do feel like they have every chance to win. He says the franchise quarterback things, but they've broken him. They broke him by not getting the pieces around. They broke him by switching up general managers in the middle of his, right in the middle of his tenure there, by getting him a head coach who didn't want to be attached to the general manager, then took things over, but not after they signed Le'Veon Bell, and then brought in a new general manager who trades away Jamal Adams just before season. Right, just before season, when you can't do anything with what you get for him. I mean, there's a lot of tons of picks in his arsenal for the next couple of drafts. It'll be great to see. It'd be great to see. Because you're going to be drafting high yourself. Because your roster is so damn thin that when the injury bug bites, you got nobody left. But hey, at least you got four quarterbacks on the roster, right? Including Joe Flacco, who's out. At least you got him. Why would you want to, you know, ditch him, with all due respect, and get at least somebody off the couch? Somebody who wants a shot in the NFL. Somebody, you know, who can do something, right? If I'm not mistaken, didn't the Seahawks get the game wrapped up yesterday by a practice squatter picking off Dak Prescott in the end zone? And then their fifth-round rookie sacking him to set up the interception. Hey, that's what happens. Oh, and they've got, you know, they've got obviously all the weaponry that's needed for their franchise quarterback. Look, they've broken him. They broke him by hiring the wrong coach. They broke him by switching up general managers at the worst possible time. And then they broke him by saying, we're going to start rebuilding in the middle, right before the beginning of his third season. He's broken. Two pick sixes and an interception in the red zone yesterday in Indianapolis. They got him the left tackle. That's good. Who's he going to throw to? Who's he going to hand off to? There's nobody there. The cupboard's bare. And you could say, oh, there's injury this, injury that. It's the way the ball bounces. Look at the San Francisco 49ers, who are 2-1. By beating both the Jets and Giants with their B and C team players. Like, they went way down the depth chart. And I know that they're defending NFC champs, and they almost won the Super Bowl last year. But they're still finding the players. And they still got the coach who's dialing it up. Honestly, they beat the Jets with one crutch tied behind their back. And then they beat, well, with one, you know, legs behind tied behind their back. And then they beat the Giants with a crutch and another arm tied behind their back. This is how bad it is for New York football, folks, is that right now, entering week four, the San Francisco 49ers have two different quarterbacks who have won in MetLife, because Jimmy G technically got the win in week two, and Nick Mullins got the win yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers, by the way, in case you're wondering, that's on the West Coast,
yeah.
Far away from the East Coast.
Far, far.
Two different quarterbacks, San Francisco, Fields, today, on their roster, two different quarterbacks have a win in MetLife Stadium, where neither quarterback for the Jets and Giants have one. That's a fact. These are facts. So the Jets have broken Sam Darnold. You could say what you want about the Giants. Nobody really, you know, was expecting all that much from them. And they did lose Saquon Barkley, who means a hell of a lot more to the Giants than Le'Veon Bell means to the Jets, because it's clear Gase didn't want Le'Veon Bell. All those reports that came out, every single person that covers the Jets say that he didn't think he was worth all that money. So Bell is a total washout, but at least that's not on the current general manager's ledger, because it was the guy they let sign Bell and then draft and then fired to bring in the new general manager, who has all sorts of problems and needs to build for the future and needs to take two firsts for a safety for sure. But doing it right before a season that you've got to evaluate your quarterback and Darnold could sit there and rah-rah all he wants and try to be a leader at all he possibly can muster, but the guy they traded away was on the sidelines with a bad groin, rooting on his team, standing up on a bad groin, leading. Could use that guy right now in New York. The Jets have broken Sam Darnold. It's official. And Mike Greenberg needs to rename his children again. I would suggest, you know, boy, if he lived out here, Jared and Goff, that would be good. Because he's resurrected. Or he's ascending.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Russell, Wilson.
Well, I mean, just again, no, just Josh or Allen. I mean, I'm talking about quarterbacks taken in that draft.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, Darnold is 4 in front of the Tampa Bay Buccaneer practice squad or Josh Rosen. Because Baker Mayfield, as much crap as people want to give him, he's still got enough weapons around him and trying his ass off. And tonight, we'll see the reigning MVP picked 32nd overall against Patrick Mahomes. We'll see that kid. And Josh Allen, he's 3-0, and he's just amazing.
Legs.
He's amazing.
Roller coaster.
Okay, but no, the Jets choose Sam Darnold and then totally abdicate their responsibility for turning him into the franchise face. And leaving all of us, Jets fans, despondent and no other way for it. And again, I'll shoot you straight. Embarrassed. I want to talk about embarrassing. Embarrassing. Embarrassing that we see what it looks like right now. And embarrassing that we were talking about he's the second coming to Broadway Joe Namath when we drafted him. Embarrassing. How many times are we as Jets fans going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? We did it with Mark Sanchez when we traded up for him. Look out. Here we go. Ground and pound.
I want you to have my cheese fries.
That was his ascendant moment after he left the Jets.
Yes, exactly. Philly.
They broke in Sam Darnold. Eric in Washington, D.C., let's take your call. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, Rich?
How you doing, sir?
Well, you know, I'm a Jets fan, so I'm not doing too good. And I'm going to sum it up with a famous Eastern philosophy quote. Hope is the first step on the road to disappointment. Yesterday I was watching the game, and I saw that Jets drive, and I thought we had a chance, and I got hope again. And we lost it. But I want to say one other thing, because I heard you talking about Sam. I have a theory. You trade Sam away, and that guy will flourish under another coach.
Hey.
And I'm sticking to it.
And you know what? I'll tell you what, Eric. He deserves it. Eric, he deserves it. He's a good – no, he's not a good. He's a great kid, a great human. You want him to be the face of your franchise. When he was signed – when he finally signed with the Jets, first thing he did was visit a children's hospital, Eric. That's the first thing he did. He's not on Twitter. He's not doing any of that stuff. He's trying to get better and lead the franchise. And he gets his brains beaten in, and he throws 2 pick-sixes and a red zone pick, and comes out.
I'm not excusing that.
And no. And but what I'm saying, he comes out and then defends his coach. He's a great human. That's the exact leader you want. But now we're 3 years in, man. This is his third season, and there's nothing around him. And I'm sorry you feel hope. What you should feel is like, get rid of it all, start again. They should trade him because they're going to get Trevor Lawrence. At this rate, nobody's worse than them. Nobody.
Yeah, but if we get Trevor Lawrence with Adam Gase still in there,
no, they wouldn't do that. No. They wouldn't do that. Adam Gase may not even be their coach Friday. I mean, they're back up Thursday night football, taking on the winless Broncos, who have more gumption with Jeff Driscoll than they have right now with Sam Darnold. And they lost Cortland Sutton. They lost their defensive player of the year candidate. They lost their top wide receiver. They lost their stellar running back in Philip Lindsay. They lost their quarterback and almost beat the Steelers on the road. Okay? And they actually played the Buccaneers for a quarter and a half at home a little bit in a way that the Jets didn't even do against the B team in San Francisco. Gase might not even be the coach on Friday, and I never call for the heads of coaches. I'm just spitting facts. Thanks for the caller.
At a certain time, we need to, though.
Eric, I appreciate it. Thank you. I think I'm spitting facts here.
Talking playoffs or what?
And that was the Giant fan who called in. That was the Giant fan who called in. The hope of New York sports fans and the dashed hope of New York sports fans is alternately what gives me hope and enjoyment because I'm a New Yorker and gives the rest of the country enough to just want to have injected into their veins. But right now, the Jets and the Giants are so bad. The rest of the country is like, I don't even know. They're actually feeling bad. They're actually feeling bad.
That's bad.
They're actually feeling bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
More phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Michael Irvin beckons hour 3 and Overreaction Monday, hour 2. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome to the MIP.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who? Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.